Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Thanks for joining us today on the Intentional Parents Podcast. We just want to take a minute and say thank you so much for listening today. And just as a reminder, if this has blessed you or helped you in any way, if you want to share this with your friends or your family or anybody that you know would appreciate this content, would you do that? That really is helpful for us. And secondarily, if you also wouldn't mind just leaving a comment or rating the podcast, that's always really helpful for us as well. So we wanted to say thank you for trusting us with your time and allowing us to say anything and spending any time with you. It's quite a joy. So today we want to jump into the topic of prayer. I want to talk about this. I love prayer. I love praying. But that's not always the case. It hasn't always been the case for me. It's not always this natural born thing, but Elizabeth and Phil and Diane are here and we're going to talk about prayer in your family, how it works, why it works with your kids, all that kind of stuff. And Elizabeth, I think you're going to start us today a little bit.
Yeah. So really I want to pick your brain because you have so much in there and a wealth of knowledge about prayer. And it really was, I don't know, like 7 or 8 years ago that you really started to become more interested in the topic of prayer, which in all honesty is not the case for a lot of people. I think a lot of people hear the word prayer or pray for my kids or and feel one of two things or both, boredom or shame. Like, I don't do that enough. I get sidetracked and bored when I try to pray. And does God hear me? Does he speak to me? I think that's a lot of where a lot of us are coming from. And I think maybe even parts of where you were 7 or 8 years ago, somewhat, but you started to learn more about it. You started to read books about it and you simply started to just practice it more. And I've gotten to watch it literally just transform your whole life to the point that you are, I mean, truly a man of prayer who you spend all throughout your day, you are talking to God. And some in clear intentional times, like prayer walks before dinner and prayer walks after the kids go to bed. And
her kids are like, why is he going outside again?
And as well as just like as you are going along your day. And it's something you really lead our family in. You lead me in, because I will say that it's like a definite weak point in my apprenticeship to Jesus. It's something I want to grow in. It's something I genuinely kind of forget about throughout the day. Things get busy and I forget to pray. And you do a beautiful job of just reminding me, hey, we prayed about this thing and look what God did. So I'd love to hear from you. Like, what is it that has made it so transformative to you that really like has changed you in that way?
Yeah. Well, that's really kind to say, sweetie. Thank you. I know Phil and Diane also have a lot to say because they're people and a man and a woman of deep prayer. Yeah. So I can't wait to hear what wisdom you guys have to share on this as well. I think I can just share my short experience as far as the passionate. And I think there's so many people that you'll probably never hear about that, where the best prayers in the world are the most intimate with God. Yeah. And those people always inspire me. I think it honestly, and maybe this is most people's experience, and or maybe it's not, but I'm sure a few will relate. I think it probably stemmed originally from a place of selfishness as a way to try to understand or control circumstances because of being unhappy or displaced or needing something or feeling that desperation. And of course, I think the thing I've learned over time is that I think God can handle the messiness of our prayers. I don't always have to caveat, like, what if this is, am I praying in the right thing? Is this the right heart, the right tone, the right posture? Of course, there's reverence, there's respect, but I trust that God has the ability, the intelligence, and the wisdom to work out my feeble weakness. But I think it probably started there, is that it was like controlling circumstances. But from there, I think just to realize, for me personally, it was such a huge anchor for sanity. You know, having an anchor in Jesus, that's primarily, I think, where it started. And I think anytime that somebody starts praying and sees God even answer a little, I mean, we've all experienced it, like how exciting it is when you're like, I prayed this thing, I willed to pray this thing with God and join him in his activity. And then he answered and he did that thing. And there's just something, there's nothing else like that in the world that you can experience this side of heaven. And I love reading about prayer. I think I always have about four different types of books I'm reading, and one of them is always a prayer book, always. And I still, one of my favorite books, and I know Diane, you've read this book, but Hearing God by Dallas Willard. Oh, just brilliant. You might not, like, some people love reading his work, some people don't. I truly loved that. I remember getting done with that and thinking, well, I don't know what to read next. And I was going to ask somebody, but I just actually was on Amazon, I think, and it suggested Prayer by Richard Foster. And I was like, well, that seems right. Like, the title's Prayer. He's a good author. And I remember just loving that book and devouring that. And then book after book after book, and realizing, oh my gosh, these people know something I don't. Like, there's an intimacy that happens in prayer that is such a gift. And so I think to answer where it started, it probably started in a selfish place, but it has become something that, like, has become so necessary for sanity. I don't know how to deal with all the trauma and trouble in the world without giving that to God. I think for me, it's a way to process my emotions. I remember when, I think it was a conversation with John Mark or somebody else, but he was talking to Gary Brashears, and Gary was talking actually to all of us in a circle, and he was saying, and this is the part of the story in the Bible where this character is processing his emotions out loud with God. And I was like, whoa, like, you can do that? Like, what do you mean? And it was the idea, like, God, this is, like, this situation is so tragic or hard or frustrating, and I need your help, and I'm not sure how to do this, and I need your wisdom and discernment. But it's also the reminder that God, like, really loves answering prayer. The reminder that there's nothing God loves more than keeping promises and answering prayers in our life and being present to us. And that just gets me excited. I love the reality of the open universe, the fact that I can pray and, like, I don't know if God's going to answer it or not, but, like, he might. Like, that keeps me so curious for my personality to know, like, God, I can partner with you to pray in a different reality or a new reality, or maybe you're putting something in my heart for my kids or for my wife or for my family or for my ministry that I'm not actually aware of. And that just makes me so excited and hopeful for the future. So I'd say that's some of it, but yeah, Phil and Diane, what are some of your thoughts? What are some of the things that you have experienced in this as well? I know it's been so big in your life as well.
I think I started off in prayer as a discipline. I was taught this is what a disciplined, godly woman does. She has her prayer lists, and she keeps them by the kitchen sink and prays these things every day. But they were really similar. I would say it was a means of control, too, feeling like so much was out of control of my life. So I pray over and over and over again for the same things. And maybe some of that was really good. It was teaching me that God can do things that I cannot do, and praying for things to happen in my children's hearts, wanting them to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, soul, and strength. I can't do that. I can't make them do that. So maybe that was a good thing. But really quickly, I think over time, And that's boring kind of prayer, to be honest. You've got your 3x5 card. You've got your list. I have some of my 3x5 cards sitting right in front of me that I prayed when my kids were teenagers. And it is kind of boring kind of prayer. You know, you're going through a list as if God has to be reminded over and over again what is he wants to do in their lives.
Yeah.
But I think pretty quickly for me, in a time of desperation, prayer became something completely different. It has become for me a time of really listening to God, really opening up my heart, being, I'm at the most myself and at home with myself and at ease with myself when I'm curled up in my cabin in the back or in a big chair with my fluffy blanket, having a cup of tea. I start my day, first cup of tea, it's kind of small mugs. I don't open my Bible. I just sit with God. I'm so glad to be with you again. Is there anything you have to, you want to say to me? Mm-hmm. I'm listening, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe I'll look at my weather app because I live in the Northwest and weather's kind of a thing. And I'll thank God for the rain that signifies blessing or for the sunshine, which is so rare.
I was going to say, Phil's probably not looking at the weather app the same way as you are.
Well, I look at your weather app to see that it's going to rain again.
Really pedestrian, though. It's like he's my best friend and I'm sitting there talking about what is important to me. But then also going on long rambling walks where I just listen and where he's leading. And for me, it has been like mental health, untangling the confusing person that I am and my idiosyncrasies and what's motivating, what's wrong with me, and what's, you know, pouring out my heart to God and getting in return scriptures. You know, I always pray with my Bible open when I'm in my cabin in the back. Getting his words to me that are healing words, that are motivating words, convicting words, lots of conviction. But it's the kind of conviction that doesn't feel like somebody just jabbed me. It's like, oh, that's medicine. Oh, yes, your solution is so right. So prayer for me has come a long ways from asking for things, not that I ever stopped that, but mostly it really is just being present with God. And all that kind of flourishing peace that comes when I'm in his presence. But I think most of us have to take that on as a learning experience, because I'll also get up from my place of prayer and being with God, get busy doing stuff, and 5 hours later realize I haven't given God one thought. Yeah. Let alone brought him with me into my world. So all of us have that. That's that abiding thing. Staying present to God is a lifetime of reminding.
Yeah, I so hear you. One, reminding, I've been reminded so far, so much lately, how, you know, we're not experts on prayer. I'm no expert on prayer. I just am excited to dive into the deep end of the pool and learn how to swim with so many that have gone before us to teach us how to pray. But Jesus said that. He said, you remember his disciples came to him and they're like, just please teach us how to pray. And that model, the Lord's Prayer and so many others, I've been loving over time, learning all the different types of prayer.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's times when we have those quick prayers, like, Lord, give us wisdom, right? Like the quick, you just shout it out, I need help. But then there's all these other types of prayer, like the prayer of examine, like, Spirit, just take the flashlight into the darkness of my soul and reveal today where my motives were wrong, where the moments I you know, spoke poorly to my wife or was rude to my kids or didn't handle that situation right or didn't act with a full integrity, like, please like, examine and then heal those parts, right? There's all these different types of prayer that we have. But then there's also these moments where, you know, throughout the day, it makes prayer so much more interesting when you're realizing, like, there's all these different kinds of prayer that even Jesus was praying, and prayers of surrender, prayers of healing, you know, and there's so much of it that we can apply to our lives. But I've been so blessed by all the different types of prayer that we have or that we have access to. Phil, what are your thoughts? What's been your experience?
I have all kinds of things going around in my head right now. Listening to Diane talk about listening, I think sometimes we think prayer is asking for things, is, you know, talking to God. And that's part of it. But it's I heard once prayer isn't a monologue, it's a dialogue. And so we're talking to him, but we're listening to him. And I think Diane is way far advanced compared to me in the listening. I'm in preschool. She's at least in high school. You know? and so often we just ask God to bless our thing, you know, bless our plans. I'd love to do this, Lord. Would you bless it? And that's okay. But how much more to say, Lord, I've had this idea. What do you think about it? And then listen, and how might I go about this? And I think he loves us so much. He wants to spend time with us. I mean, God doesn't need us. If suddenly everybody in the world said, I refuse to worship you and I refuse, the world is not going to cease to exist. He wants fellowship with us and he wants relationship. And it's about relationship. And I think that if we truly have a relationship with him and we realize this is the God who created the heavens and the earth, who is inviting me to make requests of him, if we actually could get our head around that even a little bit, that's absolutely amazing. What came to mind when we were just getting ready to do this was back when I was in Bible school at Multnomah University, there was a professor there that impacted my life. You know, some people teach you things, other people impact your life. It was David Needham. He taught Old Testament prophets. And I couldn't write fast enough. I'd sit in his class and I felt like I was watching a man have a conversation with God. And I was taking notes on the conversation, you know. And once he said about prayer, he said, think about it. God is eternal, no beginning and no end. And yet he invites us through Jesus, all because of Jesus. I mean, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody. We get to come to the Father because Jesus has forgiven us of our sins and then invited us to pray. Jesus said, ask anything in my name that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's in John chapter 15. And so he said, literally, you're brought into the throne room of God to talk to the God who made everything, and he'll consider your request. I mean, that is amazing. And so, of course, we should be glad sometimes when he says no, because you would think that the God who made the oceans and the sea and the sun and Saturn and Neptune and all these planets and galaxies and things that are just absolutely mind-blowing, of course, he knows whether what we're asking is the right thing, or if it's the right time, or if he's going to lead us differently. And so I think with this kind of deeper understanding, prayer gets really exciting. And I consider myself a novice at it too. But the other thing that came to my mind is Jesus prayed to his Father. If Jesus, who, if anybody didn't need to pray, it was Jesus, right? And yet, I think it's Luke 5:16, I think, he would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And in Matthew, it said early in the morning while it was still dark, he would get up and depart to a lonely place to pray. Just before he was crucified, he goes into the garden and he tells Peter, James, and John, hey, just watch with me here. And he went a stone's throw away and he prayed, sweating drops of blood, Father. So he's talking to his Father. And I feel if he needs to pray, how much more do I need to pray? So I don't know. I've learned that prayer, it changes my perspective. In other words, God changes, what Diane's talking about is he changes me. He changes my perspective, which then changes your priorities sometimes. And so, you know, and, you know, Diane said, yeah, that it's not exciting to pray on lists, except lists can be helpful if they remind you to pray. Like some of my early lists were praying for my kids to be saved. Okay, so that was really important to me. I mean, I can show you, Elizabeth, I still have my early prayer list when you were little, and I prayed for you and And so this morning, you know, we're out here in Diane's cabin, but you guys are staying with us, and I came out in the morning at, you know, 6:30 because the sun comes out later. And Elizabeth's off in one corner, and we all know we don't talk to Elizabeth in the morning. Right, Brooke?
You do not.
Leave her alone.
Well, you might try that once, and then you don't do that again.
She's reading her Bible.
She's really sweet.
And I'm making coffee for me and coffee for Diane, because that's what she goes to after her tea. Yeah. And, you know, and then I go into my office where there's Brooke on my couch in there reading his Bible. And I walked back to the bedroom because we have a pretty small house. So, but I thought, my wife's out in the cabin reading the word. My daughter's up on the window seat reading the word. my son-in-law who loves my daughters in here reading the word. And I thought, oh, that's what every parent wants one day, to see their kids grow up to be listening to the Lord, praying to the Lord with the scriptures open. And so is what we prayed for. So that's God answers prayer. And, you know, the phrase we like to say is prayer changes things.
Yes.
Prayer changes things, and prayer moves the hand of God. So, you know, it is not that he's not going to do things without our prayers, yeah. But I think how much more might be happening if I was practicing what you're an example to me, Brooke. You're doing more prayer walks than I'm doing. So I'm so glad that you wanted to bring this topic to the parents, because I think in our teaching, Diane came up with the phrase, when we think of Christ being at home in our kids and building his home there and being a house, prayer is like putting the roof of protection on, because there's spiritual warfare. And so, of course, you want to pray over your kids. And I just think that none of us are going to get to heaven one day and say, man, you know, I just prayed too much.
No, we're going to say, wish I would have prayed less.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, why didn't I pray all the time?
And it's so interesting, because so many, I get a lot of questions, even from a lot of people that have known Jesus for a long time, and will say, well, I pray, I talk to God, but I sometimes don't feel worthy to ask. I don't feel like I'm allowed to ask. If he already knows, why do I ask? Part of that, the answer to that question is because he just loves the relationship. If you're a dad, mm-hmm. you know, like you just want to talk to your kids. You just want to spend time with them, right? And you love to know what they love. And you love, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many things that Duke will ask me, or Scarlett or any of our girls will ask me, that I probably wouldn't think to say yes to. But the reason I say yes is because they're mm-hmm. like, dad, I just kind of want to do this thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay. It's not going to harm you. It's maybe I wouldn't have thought of it, but yeah, that's great with me. I love, mm-hmm. I can bless you in that way. You know, I think when it comes to even as a parent, how do you even, you know, my thought always comes to, and the question I get often is, how do you actually implement that? What are some models to use? And the one that came to mind as we were just sitting here is Pete Gregg, who leads 24/7 prayer there in England. He's just such a great prayer mentor through all of his work. To me, and I've just so appreciated all the work he's put out in the world. But he used this acronym in his latest book, and he used the word pray. Like, so when you're thinking about prayer specifically, and this could be something for, you know, parents, or just an acronym to follow that's really simple. And I think it just gives great practical help to actually break down kind of what a prayer or prayers can look like. And he basically just breaks it down and says, the P in prayer is for pause. Just like slow down for a minute, you know, pause. Mm-hmm. If you're in the middle of your day, you're busy, whether that's at work or at home or activity, just pause for a minute mentally. And then secondly, the R, rejoice. Like just be mm-hmm. thankful, begin to ask God, or rather not ask, but be thankful for what God's put in your life, or what even you might be doing, or for the body to be able to move, to do the thing that mm-hmm. you're doing, or mm-hmm. the family that he's put before you. So it stirs this heart of gratitude. Then thirdly, the A is ask, you know, ask, be specific, actually ask stuff. You know, it's okay to ask things. It's okay to ask God what he wants. And then the Y stands for yield, which mm-hmm. I love the idea mm-hmm. that we're surrendering all the things that just happened to his timing, his provision, his will, his way. And I think on the topic of prayer, especially for families and parents, and this is something I'm reminding you to remind myself primarily, is God works in years and decades and generations and millennia. We work in minutes and hours and days and weeks, and we expect quick turnaround with our prayer. I mean, I do it all the time, and I get discouraged. And the one thing that has been so helpful for me to not get discouraged in pushing through and praying through in different topics that God's put on my heart, or different requests, is to really do, I mean, what you said, Phil, and what you said, Diane, is to keep a list. Because I think when you have a list, you go back and you slowly start checking the boxes. And I find when I do that, it takes a long time to usually check off the whole list. But, you know, 4 months, 5 months, a year, 2 years go by, and you go back and you realize there are so many check marks that I don't know if they would be check marks unless they were on that piece of paper and I was actually asking them. And that can be from relational clarity or unity all the way from something simple that you just need. And when it comes to what should you pray for, everything all the time. Like, bring everything before the Father. He's not embarrassed by what your needs are. And that freedom and permission for me has always been so helpful. And so I use it as an opportunity to, you know, kind of have this, God and I feel like we have this game, you know, like, how can, what do you want to do? Like, what are we up to today, God? Like, what's the activity that you and I are partnering together to do, through prayer, through listening, through your guiding spirit? And it's just a, I think it's just a fun way to, in my sevenness, to just handle and deal with life, the stresses of life.
No, but I've seen it be so beneficial to our kids, because that keeping the list, you have, well, now journals and journals and journals, you're filling a bookshelf of prayer journals. But anytime God answers something, you bring the kids into it. Say, guys, I've been praying for this thing, or mom and I have prayed for this thing, or I prayed for this thing with you guys, and look how God answered it. To the point now that they are now saying, when something happens, and it started out silly, like we'd pull into a parking spot and Scarlett would say, I was praying that we would find a parking spot, and we did. But the reality is, like, God is in that kind of stuff, and showing Scarlett that I care about even where you park, because I know where you park. I know where you are at all time. And I think now that, because you've done that in your own life, our kids are now experiencing that. They're remembering to pray and to ask God and to listen to him. We've had lots of listening prayer where our kids are actually hearing God say things or see things. And I think, you know, a lot of us, if anybody's more on my end, where I so often forget to pray, and then I feel like, well, I've not been talking to God enough. I need to, like, make up for it.
Like, I can't ask now. I haven't spent enough time with you.
I feel like miles behind all of you in so many ways, simply because I forget. But then every time I read the Book of Psalms, I'm just reminded of the beauty in raw honesty before God. If you read any of the Psalms that David wrote, it's pretty much raw honesty of things that you and I would probably be afraid to say to God. Why have you forsaken me? Like, usually him feeling really sorry for himself. It's really dramatic. Yeah. You can see the depression. You can see the anxiety. And they always end with him praising God for who he really is, and that he can take care of it, basically, either for what he's done in the past or what he knows he's going to do about the situation, which to me is always a refreshing reminder of, it doesn't matter if you've forgotten to pray for the last 5 years and you need to start now, or you haven't prayed at all this week and you feel like you have to make up time. That's not what it's about. It's about coming just like our kids come to us. They're not like having to feel like they have to say it all right and give us all this praise before they ask us for the cookie that they want. What do they do? They run up, mom, 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 can I have a cookie? Can I have a cookie? Can I have a cookie? Yeah.
You know? They don't respect the order of the hierarchy.
No, and it usually starts, like you said, you started by really asking because you wanted it to benefit your life. It was totally a lot of requesting
and I think God was also gracious to let that happen. Yeah. Almost like he invites you in. And I think for the mom that is in your same situation, or the dad, or the person that maybe forgets, prayer is so much more simple, I think, than we realize. And I think that's one of the biggest ploys of the enemy, is to make it feel or seem like it's this cumbersome, and sometimes it can be, but basically that's this cumbersome, really hard, God doesn't really want to answer your prayer anyway kind of thing. And if we can just remember that passage in Luke 11, that's all about, like, that story. I love that story. Jesus basically is telling this parable, and many of you know it, but just for the sake of the story, you know, who of you, if your neighbor comes to you in the middle of the night and he's pounding on the door, you know, you're not going to give him bread because he's your neighbor. You're going to give him bread because of his shameless audacity. Basically, because he won't stop knocking, because he won't shut up, because his kids are in bed. And you're like, I need bread. People are coming into town. There's no stores open. So he's pounding on his neighbor's door. He says he's not going to give it to you because you're his friend. He's going to give it to you because of your shameless audacity. And then he says, who of you fathers, if your son asks you for an egg, is going to give him a scorpion, which is a fun example. But that idea that, you know, you even earthly fathers who are full of sin know how to give good gifts to your kids. It's that reminder, like, as the asking, seeking, knocking. But that, and many of you have heard this before, I'm sure, but the thing that rings in my mind often about prayer is the three things around this topic. And obviously this has been around for a while, but when it comes to prayer, keep it short, keep it honest, and keep it going. Those three things are so helpful for me. Like, keep it short. It doesn't have to be super long. Like, it can be really, really short. It can be, like, keep it honest. Like, don't do the fluff thing where, like, you know, that God is not impressed in that. and keep it going. Just keep a consistent pace in your life. And even if that was the one thing that you took away from this moment today and started to apply in your life, you will see fruit, like so much fruit in my experience.
And here's the really important thing is the sooner you start praying with your kids, the better. Yeah. So that it becomes just a very fluent language that is just normal and natural. We just start talking out loud to God. I remember so many times when Phil, we'd be driving the car or something would happen and Phil would say, let's pray about that right now. And grab my hand and pray out loud. The kids are all listening as if it's the most normal thing in the world to bring any of your problems, any of your concerns, any of your worries to God. And that is, that's what we want our kids to think too. They want to, we want them to grow up thinking prayer is just what people do. They just weave in and out of conversation with God all day long. And I remember when my kids were teenagers, especially my firstborn was very much didn't want his mom telling him what to do anymore. He'd had enough of direction and correction from his mom. But that's awkward. They, you know, teenagers still need some direction and correction from their mom. So I learned this amazing thing. Now, he was a godly man, even as a teenager, immature, but you know, and not always the best judgment, but he was really seeking God. I learned that I could actually go to the Father about things that I wanted him to communicate to my son. And that John Mark, who would get up in the morning and read his Bible, would so often, and it was like God was trying to encourage me to keep praying this way. So often that very morning, he'd rush in and say to me, look what I just saw in the Bible. And I think, I've been praying for that very thing for you to recognize. It didn't have to say a word.
That's cool.
And just the Holy Spirit is so much a better of a communicator to our teenagers' hearts than we are, that sometimes we can just bypass the uncomfortable conversations and just ask the Holy Spirit to do what we can't.
And I think as a parent, it's our job to help our kids normalize prayer. Yes. Prayer is a normal thing, right? Like, I think it's our job to help them know that this is a very normal part. Like you said, when you wake up, when you lie down, it's Deuteronomy 6, right? Yeah. It's all that stuff. And it's our job to for them to not feel uncomfortable around the topic that we pray all the time about everything in every space and every place. And if we're praying and somebody hears us that doesn't and they look at us funny, like, that's cool. We can explain. Yeah, we trust Jesus. We pray. But also for the dads, if there's any dads listening, you know, I think especially in the Christian world, you hear a lot about spiritual leadership. You need to be the spiritual leader and you need to be the spiritual strong point of your home. And I would say, yes, you absolutely do. But I think a lot of the times that phrase gets misunderstood or it hasn't been explained well. And so it's a debilitating statement to a lot of dads. You're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home. Well, what does that mean? Well, we know that leadership in general means initiation. It doesn't mean that you have to like be the perfect prayer or have all the answers. Elizabeth is far smarter and more aware of certain things because of the fact that you're her parents. She had a leg up on a lot of things that I didn't coming into parenting. And it wasn't even my job to have all the answers, but it is my job to initiate, to say, hey, we should do this, or why don't we do this? Or I don't know how we could do this, but let's try, right? And I think as a dad, maybe to encourage you, if you're in that space, spiritual leadership, it comes from both of the parents, right? At the same time, it's more about initiation than about having the right answers or knowing how to do it. But initiate godliness in your home, initiate the idea of prayer, initiate the conversations, and don't feel like you have to carry all of them, because I think your spouse is really good and wants to partner with a man that initiates.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well said.
We need to remember that we're talking to the God who's a miracle working God. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. And I think when you're raising kids, there are situations where we can't change the heart of our kid, or we don't know what to do. And, you know, and so I just think we need to remember how great he really is. And, you know, it's all over the scriptures. I mean, when we were talking here, I thought of the book of Acts. You remember where it's chapter 12, where Herod goes crazy and he has James killed and he throws Peter in prison. And in that chapter, it says, and the church was fervently praying for Peter. So they go, we can't, this is Herod. This is like the king. we can't go get Peter out of prison. So what did they do? They expressed their absolute dependence by praying to God to do something they couldn't do. And then this is a funny story because Peter gets released miraculously. Earthquake, the angel comes. He's out of prison. He's knocking on the door where they're praying. And the servant girl comes out, Rhoda. And she goes, it's Peter. She runs back into the prayers. Peter's at the front door. They go, no, no, it's not. It's his angel. He's in prison. So they're praying. And so that gives me great courage because it's not like they had this, hallelujah, God answered our prayers. Bring him in. They go, no, it can't be him. And so sometimes I think when we pray, we think we have to be these, you know, giants of faith. And I think God just, we come as children. And that chapter ends with Peter free and Herod dead. And so all that happens in one chapter. And I think the more we think about what a privilege it is and how powerful God is. And when we love our kids, of course we're going to pray for them without ceasing, as it says in First Thessalonians. It's a privilege.
Yeah. I think one of the things just to maybe as we close today is just to remind you that prayer is not this, it doesn't have to be this big chore, this big heavy thing. Just talk with God, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think, and teach your kids how to do that. Teach your kids how to have a normal conversation with God. Father, I'm feeling overwhelmed about this. Would you give me relief? Mm-hmm. Help me know how to navigate today. Help me have wisdom in the decisions I make today. You know, I think just normalize prayer in the most simple ways for your kids. And really that's your job as a parent, is to teach them what that looks like. One of the parenting things I've been just been made aware of more and more lately is the power. And Phil and I, we were doing a podcast on another podcast the other day, and the guy that was interviewing us really quick said, you have any final thoughts? And I'd like that morning been coming aware of this really powerful reality, that one of the strongest parenting positions is withness, doing things with your kids, teaching them, showing them, like, and you realize that was Jesus's way. It was totally his way. But I so often am like, kids, go read your Bible. This is how you do it real quick. And then, you know, shoo, go do your thing. I have stuff I got to do. And that's not my heart, obviously. I'm still trying to teach them, right? But like, there's a whole different thing from me saying, go read your Bible or go on a prayer walk, instead of saying like to Duke, would you like to go on a prayer walk with me? And showing him what that looks like. Withness takes so much more time, so much more energy, so much more emotional, energy all the way around. I've seen it even lately be such a powerful tool in parenting and helping my kids see or understand or really to learn a new thing or comply with something I'm asking. If I'm trying to just say, if I'm outsourcing it and just saying, hey, figure it out, it doesn't tend to go that well. And so I think just like God wants withness with us, our kids want withness from us. And as we do that, we can be a huge blessing as we teach them how to pray in this journey. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram @intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.